Hello and welcome to TGI Patreon Mini for the week of March 30th. I'm your host Ryan Murphy, here to give you a preview of this week's Gamers In content. Before we get started, I want to say a quick thank you to our April patron, which is Matthew. Thank you so much for supporting the Gamers In over at patreon.com/thegamersin. We really appreciate it, and you're our April patron. You're going to be shouted out on our shows and our mini, and you too can be shouted out by joining the lovely folks over at patreon.com/thegamersin. We know now is a difficult time for everyone, what with the global pandemic. So we really appreciate the support that's come in and that continues to come in, whether you're a listener, you're just a Discord chatter, you're a supporter on Patreon, everybody and anybody who just helps keep everything positive and everyone's smiling. So we'll continue to deliver the content we think is really great, and we hope you continue to enjoy that content. So speaking of good content, let's talk about the good content that's going to be coming up this week. As most of you know, my lovely wife, Ashley, is due with our third child, which is our due date is tomorrow, as of this recording, March 31st. So will there be a Gamers In reflective of what I'm going to talk about here? I don't know. Maybe. Depends. Depends if Ashley makes it to tomorrow night. We'll see. So far, all signs point to, I have no idea. From what I've understood, I know you'd say to me, like, you have two other kids, Ryan. You'd think you'd know how this works. Honestly, it's a crapshoot. You know, the way they do those dates, it's not an exact science. And also, the human body, I was going to say the human body is an exact science, but I think it is. But just the way it works is kind of, it's really hard to pinpoint it to a specific day and time. If I could, I would say, I've had a good morning. This coffee's good. You know, I have my shower. I've brushed my teeth. I'm feeling comfortable. All right, let's go have a baby. No, it doesn't work that way. So we'll see how things go. I, at this point in time, plan to record tomorrow night. But Jocelyn has secured some guests. They're waiting in the wings. I'll probably take a couple weeks off just to see how, see what it's like to have three kids and get back into a normal schedule. But Caden and Abigail are fairly, you know, they're good. They go down at 7, they're good. So really it's just dependent on the baby. So I will continue to keep everyone updated on my situation. But as of right now, let's talk about what I think Gamers In is going to be like on Tuesday night, which is tomorrow. So I've been playing a lot of Doom Eternal to the point where I think I'm close to finishing it. It's not a long game, and it's so fast-paced that you really lose track of how much time you've been in it. By the end of it, you're just kind of like, you have to peel your mouse from your hand because you're so amped up. So I'll talk about Doom Eternal this week if I get a chance. I think a lot of people have looked at Doom Eternal and said, like, you know, it's not quite as good as the first one. And here's the thing. I think for those folks, it suffers from them trying to make a proper sequel, in that everyone sees a sequel as bigger, better, and just more, you know? So when you look at Doom Eternal and you compare it to Doom, it's got that fast-paced action, but they've added it on to it. They've compounded it with, you know, new mobility, new sort of you know, combat mechanics with different guns and ammo types and upgrades and all that fun stuff. So I feel like they've really amped the combat up. There's a bunch of weapon upgrades. You know, you still got that great exploration that I loved in the first one, where I love that you can completely spec your character to show you where all the collectibles are, and then you just have to find them. I don't care that they're right on the map there for you to find them. I think just the search is what, and checking the box on getting all those things, just that's a good video game experience to me. I don't have time to search every nook and cranny. Show me where they are. I'll do the small puzzle to find where they are. That's satisfying. So I really dig that. But I can see where maybe some people get lost a little bit in Doom Eternal, is that they've really ramped up the story and the lore. Whereas the original Doom games, I just got a text from my wife, all is fine. She dropped a bunch of pots and pans. I don't know if that's going to show up on the recording, but I was just assuming everything was fine, which it is. Got the confirmation, in case anyone's wondering. Anyways, where was I? Yeah, so there's a bunch more lore, and Doom really never had a story. It was like, you're Doom guy, and there's a bunch of demons, so go shoot them. So when Doom 2016 came out, clearly they had more of an idea of a story they wanted to tell. So they layered on a little bit on there, but it was very much, you know, in the background. It was happening around you. It didn't stop the action. So in this one, there are a lot of, like, there's just like in the first one, there's some lore pickups, which you can ignore or just collect and not read. But there's also cutscenes. There's, you know, breakdowns of characters and story and flashbacks and different planets. And it's just, it's a lot more. And I could see how some folks are like, no, I don't even want to dabble in your Doom lore. I just want to play Doom. And to those folks, I say, I'm enjoying it. It's gobbledygook story. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It's not, like, it's interesting, don't get me wrong, but it's not, like, imperative you understand what's going on to enjoy the game. Because at the end of the day, it's not a story game. This isn't like Horizon Zero Dawn, where, like, the story and the gameplay are very much paired. This is just giving you a more convoluted reason to shoot up a bunch of demons. And even then, it's convoluted, but not so difficult. Demons bad, shoot them all, you're good to go. So yeah, I can see where people would be frustrated with that, but I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm getting to the tail end, and it's really neat. They've managed to kind of stack on this huge amount of story and lore to Doom. Who thought we'd be even mentioning that in 2020? For Animal Crossing, New Horizons, still playing that every day, kind of just poking my head in. I saw Jocelyn broke down, she bought it. She was looking for island names on Twitter and Discord. She did not go with Dick Mountain. From what I understand, it was too many characters and would probably get her banned. So she'll talk about that. And I'm looking forward to hearing her thoughts, because I really, really feel like the quality of life stuff they made in this game kind of brings it up a notch for those that really didn't like the old Animal Crossing, because you had to deal with a lot of garbage in those early Animal Crossing games. And don't get me wrong, there's still some stuff. You know, like the anti-cheating sort of one island per switch. A lot of people are frustrated by that. I get where they're coming from, but I also get where Nintendo's coming from. And it's just a matter of how much trust do you want to put in your players? Because, you know, people are already changing the time on their Switch. You know dang well they're going to have multiple islands. So, like, I also don't fault Nintendo. I kind of see both sides of it. So, you know, fortunately for me, I don't have to worry about it, because it's just me playing in this household. But my understanding is that if you have more than one player playing on that one island, really the main player, the person that kicks it off, is the one that gets to do a lot of main stuff. The secondary players are just along for the ride. So that's a bit of a bummer if you've got, you know, more than one core gamer in the household. So I see that. I'm also playing Half-Life Alyx, which is the new Half-Life VR game. And I gotta say, I've played quite a few VR games. I don't normally talk about them on the show, because I feel like, on one hand, VR is a very niche, you know, part of gaming. But then I also look at Half-Life Alyx as this AAA VR experience, return to a world that a lot of people appreciate. So I probably will talk a little more about Half-Life Alyx. I'm very early on, sort of just getting past the point of understanding the mechanics. Hit a bit of a roadblock. If you folks are playing Half-Life Alyx, you'll probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's a part of a level where there's just a bunch of red barrels, and you're going through this dark corridor trying to get this piece that you need to open a door. And I had to do that so many times, and it was not fun. It was interesting, but not necessarily fun. I died a lot due to explosions. Mostly because you'd say, like, okay, well, you're going through there, so there's a bunch of the, I think they're called lurkers or something, the things at the, or they're on the ceilings and they have a little drop wire, like a tongue, and they like pull you up. So the way, like, when, if there is a way to get around them, but if they do happen to catch you, you have to kind of shoot them so they let you go. But there's a bunch of red barrels in the ceilings and everywhere. So as soon as you hit one of those red barrels, the whole thing lights up and you die instantly. So I struggled with that. And I think that's pretty much the last part that I did. So I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. I just, that was the one level that really tested me. But it's certainly a Half-Life game. And there are moments where it's like, wow, I look like an idiot outside of the game, but that was something. So probably talk a little bit about that. Gamers in the news, you know, COVID-19, the coronavirus, the global pandemic continues to kind of, you know, take over the news cycle. But we've got a couple stories here unrelated to that. GameStop's still a dick. That's the only one I'll mention in terms of a negative sort of story related to COVID. So we may talk about that. I feel like we're kicking someone when they're down, but honestly, like, you can't make up some of this stuff that's coming out. I mean, everyone's just trying to make ends meet. Everyone's trying to, you know, keep their businesses open without endangering the public. But you get to a point where it's like, okay, guys, just, you know, find a safe way to deliver people the games. I know a lot of people were arguing when it came to GameStop is like, they see the writing on the wall in the sense that this scenario is kind of the perfect reason for everyone to get used to buying digitally. I know people have concerns with buying digitally in terms of, do you really own the content? You know, how long does it stay with you before people can just grab it back? If you have a physical copy, even if they shut down, you know, game servers or disable the game, you still have that core physical copy that you can hold over and may not be able to use, but at least you own something. But for me, it's like, I trust these companies enough that digital versions will be with me as long as I need them to be. But maybe in 20, 30 years, we get to a point where, oh shit, I can't play, you know, I can't play Half-Life 2 on my PC because Steam took it away. I have no idea. We'll see. But in terms of positive stories, a couple here. Epic Games to publish new games from Control, Inside, and The Last Guardian developers. So this was a pretty crazy deal, and I think it's like, they've got like some financing plan, and we'll go over it on the show, but it's one of those things that Epic's really trying to do where they're saying like, hey, this is the deal developers are looking for, and we're giving it to these folks, and it's going to be to push, you know, great games, and, you know, money will come, you know, profit will come, but at the beginning, we're just looking for a financing deal, and we're going to make it fair to these developers. I'll open it up here and see if I can find it. But it was crazy. I think it was a, you know, full creative freedom and ownership. Developers retain 100% of all intellectual property. So this is an Epic trying to farm out, you know, get some more IP under their wing. Fully funded projects. Epic Games Publishing will cover up to 100% of development costs, from developer salaries to go-to-market expenses, such as QA, localization, marketing, and other publishing costs. And then it's a 50-50 profit sharing. Developers earn a fair share of their work. Once costs are recouped, developers earn at least 50% of all profits. So that to me reads like the profits from the game go to Epic until the costs of development of the project are recouped, and then it goes to 50-50. So essentially, you know, Playdead, Remedy Entertainment, and Gen Design get what they need to build their game, and then upon its success, they're looking at a 50-50 split. So, but it's fully funded. It's interesting. And the other news story we have, which dropped today, was Eurogame and other outlets are reporting that the Nintendo Switch in 2020 is just going to have a bunch of Mario games, because this is the 35th anniversary of Super Mario, and which would include remasters of Super Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario 3D World from the Wii U, which was a great game that not a lot of people played. Story of that platform's life. But yeah, that's exciting. I would love to play Super Mario Sunshine again. I liked that game. I know a lot of people didn't, but I did. So Yeah, I'm a Nintendo guy, so what, sue me, I guess. Speaking of being a Nintendo guy, Summoner's Call just finished recording. We recorded a day late, posted that on the feed. We went over the new Mythic Hero. Not much news to go on, but we did do Game Club, so we talked a little more about Sacred Stones. Hoping maybe an episode next week. I mean, if things delay that much with the pregnancy, but I would imagine we're gonna take some time off. I think this baby's coming this week. That's my bet. Let me know your bet. But other upcoming events outside of my third child, we've got Persona 5 Royale launching tomorrow, March 31st on PS4. The Complex also tomorrow on March 31st, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Resident Evil 3 reviews just dropped for that. Kind of all over the place, but it sounds like it's more based on the game it's based on and not the actual, remake. So that should be interesting. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on April 3rd. Final Fantasy VII Remake on PS4, April 10th. This was a surprise. Dead by Daylight on iOS and Android on April 16th. Is that a thing? Okay. Deliver Us to the Moon, PS4, Xbox One on April 24th. Predator Hunting Grounds, PS4 on April 24th. Trials of Mana, PS4, Switch, and PC on the 24th as well. Gears Tactics on PC, April 28th, launching later on Xbox One. And finally, Minecraft Dungeons, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on April 30th. Whew. All right. Well, that was a long mini, but it is what it is. Be sure to join us on Discord. Join on the conversation. Go to bit.ly/TGI Discord. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.